Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You've not seen that.
Hello and welcome to another How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That series. And I know what you're thinking. How is this series still going? You know, how could these so-called critics still have very famous films, very well-known films that they have not seen?
I mean, it's only us that call ourselves critics, though, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
We're a bunch of hacks.
We're all hacks. That's the truth of it. But one of us is constantly called a hack, and that is Emma. Hello, Emma. How are you?
Just constant bullying, like.
Yes. It, in a way, it's podcast bullying.
Yeah, it is.
Bullying, if you will.
I'm going to HR about this.
The HR department is also run by me, so I think you'll find that I'm, you know, I'm all over the place. that little chuckle was Lucy. Hello. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
You know. Getting by. It's hot here, as I'm sure Gareth will talk about. He loves talking about how hot it is when he records a podcast. Gareth, how are you?
Sweltering, mate. I'm absolutely sweltering.
Yeah. So...
absurd.
Let's set a scene. So, you know, obviously we're all English, but me and Gaz moved to Australia. And right now, at this moment in time, the two places could not be more polar opposite.
Nope.
Okay?
Polar, no. Yeah.
Oh, so, good that. That's good.
Yeah, good
accidental,
that.
But good.
So, didn't mean it, but an unintentional pun. Me and Gaz are probably both sitting in our pants. Pants, for the American listeners, is jocks or briefs.
Jocks.
Undergarments.
You know, your underwear, because it is about 38 degrees here, and it's like 9 p.m. at night. Whereas in the UK, Emma, what is going on over there right now?
It's minus one. And we've got 4 inches of snow where I am, still going at 10 a.m. It's delightful.
Love that.
Fucking freezing.
It's not snowing here, but it's scheduled to sleet later.
Ooh. Ooh, sleet. Ooh, how exciting.
I'll take some of that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The thing I miss most about England is the sleet. That's what I've been saying all along.
Top sleet.
I always said that.
So, yes, if we sound different, if, you know, if some of us sound very, like, out of breath, and like gasping for air, that's me and Gaz. And if the others, you hear some chattering, you hear a little bit of teeth chattering, that's obviously Lucy and Emma. So we'll do our best to keep that to a minimum. Okay, so Emma, could you please tell everyone what film you haven't seen?
So I'm very ashamed to say that I have never seen Good Will Hunting. I have now, obviously. I've seen it now.
Shame. How the fuck have you not seen that?
It's shocking, isn't it? Would you like me to explain why I've never seen it?
Yes, please.
Explain yourself.
I honestly have no legitimate excuse for this. This came out when I was about 8, so it was probably like I wasn't the age to watch it. And very much like a lot of the things that we've talked about, I think it got to the point where I was like, it's too far, isn't it? What's the point? What's the point in watching this? And so it's funny because when I was watching it yesterday, I was like, oh, I remember this. I've seen this somewhere because I know bits of it, but I've never actually seen the film. Mm. Anyway, I'm furious at myself now for not watching it. And, you know, I legitimately allow you all to call me a hack just for this, not for anything else.
Hack. Yeah. Hack at everything in life.
Oi.
Okay, so hold your thoughts, Emma. Hold them, because we're going to come to you last. What we do here at Fancritical is, of course, in these episodes, is we simply we talk about the film, we rate it in our patented blueberry scale, which we're going to do right now. Mm. We'll talk about our favourite scenes, a couple of standout performances, and then, of course, we'll wrap it all up with the quiz, where Emma has to get 3 out of 6 questions correct to pass, get the stamp of certification that she has seen the film, and therefore does not have to be forcibly... restrained to watch it again. I don't think this one you really need to forcibly restrain anyone, hopefully. But let's see, who knows? Someone in the group might hate it.
It's like that scene in Clockwork Orange, isn't it? That's what we do if you if you don't pass the test.
Pull your eyes back. Yeah. Let's not talk about Clockwork Orange again. It's quite
great. We have a podcast on it. Go and listen to it. It's lovely.
Yeah, go check that one out. Okay, Lucy, gonna start with you. Good Will Hunting. Good.
Or Will.
Hunting.
So this those are the two options. I remember when this film came out, actually, because I remember when Ben Affleck and Matt Damon won the Oscar, and obviously they were really young, and you look back now and you think, oh my god, they were so young. But I was probably like 11 when this came out. And I think this was one of the first films that I saw that was kind of more like a grown-up film. Like, obviously, I always love like Disney films.
This one's for grown-ups.
But do you know what I mean? Like, when you're becoming a teenager and you stop watching just like the blockbusters or the Disney and stuff, and you watch films that are a bit more grown-up. And yeah, I really loved it when I was younger. It was one of my favourite films. I had it on DVD. And watching it as an adult, I mean, I have seen it obviously as an adult, but watching it most recently, it's just, I was just blown away really by it. There's so much more I saw in it. Like, the script is amazing. Like, the way it builds to that kind of, what's the word? Not redemption for Will, but it's cathartic how he kind of comes to accept help and his own potential. And it's just, the acting, everything. It's just, the music is a fantastic, fantastic film. So it merits, I was wise as a child to love it as much as I did. It's definitely a five blueberry film. I think it's... it's just absolutely a fantastic modern classic. Like, you've got the Boston accents, which I absolutely love. So much fun just copying Boston. Them. Yeah, everything
got
they say, I'm
car.
Like, oh, I have to repeat it.
Car. I got you a car. Sorry to anyone from Boston.
Are you all right?
Have the car in Harvard Yard, ma. I just love it. Like, the 90s sportswear... It's just absolutely fantastic film. It has improved with age, I would say, even. So I'm going to give it five blueberries, if that's not obvious.
Five blueberries.
That's fine. And for anyone listening for the first time, the blueberry scale, harsh but fair system, patented by Fan Critical, 0 to 5. There can be no halves. Harsh but fair scale, Gareth. Good Will Hunting.
Yes, all three of those.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, do you know, I actually don't know the origin story of my relationship with Good Will Hunting. It's a film that I've sort of always had, I think, since I can remember. I would have been, I think it came out in 97, maybe. I didn't, I was like 9, probably. So
nine.
I didn't
nine,
kind
yeah.
of rush to the cinema or anything to see it. But it's a film that I've always been aware of. I've always known it was there. And I don't know when I first watched it. Probably a couple of years after that, and I've probably seen it 7 or 8 times now.
Ooh, lots.
Yeah, quite a few. And I
more
I
than
just,
Braveheart.
More than I've seen Braveheart. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I wonder why.
That is true. Well, I actually only gave Braveheart 4 blueberries, which surprised me that I gave it that. I was expecting to watch it again and be like, boom, this film. I knew exactly what I was going to get from it. Because it's an absolute modern classic. It's a brilliant story. It's brilliantly told. The acting is phenomenal. Robin Williams is actually, that was kind of hard.
Yeah, it was.
Seeing him in some of those scenes. Yeah. It's really hard. There's something very 90s about cities like Boston. In the sun, it feels very 90s. I don't know why.
Weird.
I know it's weird, but aside from that, it's a very it's just a film that's held its age very well. It could easily have been made now and
yesterday
and it'd be getting the same plaudits. Undoubtedly I'm gonna give it apples, really. I'm gonna give it 5 apples out of 5.
How'd you like them blueberries? I mean, apples. How'd you like them blueberries?
Do you like blueberries? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got a number. How'd you like them blueberries? Well, I like it 5 out of 5.
Good.
Thank you very much.
So I, that's a good score, Gareth. I agree with that. I'm going to also give it 5 blueberries because I like the look of your blueberries. but I will say that I hadn't seen this film
Put some proper trousers on.
A very long time. I'm going to say over 10 years, right? I haven't seen this film. I remember watching it for the first time, probably quite late, actually. I probably saw it in my sort of mid-teens. It was something that my parents were watching. And I thought, you know, this is a nice film. And I loved film at the time. But like Lucy said, you sort of come to appreciate the finer things in films the older you get. And watching it this afternoon, it's a Sunday afternoon, it was hot, I had the air conditioning on. Once again, still in my pants, briefs, jocks, whatever you want to call them. And I just sat there and was in awe of this film, just in absolute awe of how well written it is. Like, it doesn't do anything spectacular, but the things it does extremely well. And it's, I don't know, there's something about it. It constantly had me emotional. And I hadn't been drinking, so I'm not even on a hangover or anything this time. And I was just sat there going, wow, this is just great, isn't it? It's just a great film. Like, there were no lulls in it. The performances are fantastic. The sort of realism of some of the dialogue is amazing. Yeah. You know, like Gaz said, it's timeless. Like, it could have been made yesterday. It's that good. Like, it doesn't fit into a timeline or, you know, you don't think about it like a 90s film. And, you know, when it finished, I couldn't really remember the ending. And this is, you know, we're talking about the film, so spoilers, whatever. But I was like, oh my God, does someone die in this film? I was like, I can't remember if someone dies. And then for the last 10 minutes, with that thought that, like, he's in a car crash or something was going through my head like that, I was sat there on the edge of my seat going, because it all feels very like, oh my God, something's going to happen at the end of this film. And I was just like psyching myself out about it. And then when it ended like it did, I was like,
thank goodness.
Relief.
Thank Will Hunting.
Will Hunting, yes. So for me, it's a 5. I had a lovely afternoon watching this. I mean, you know, last week or whatever, we watched Braveheart. And it's a heavy watch, Braveheart. But, you know, funny and poignant and great. But this was just lovely. This is a proper Sunday afternoon film. Put your feet up, sit back, relax, and get taken away by the beautiful performances. Now coming to the hack herself, Emma Hack Phillips.
That's me. Oh, thanks Hacky for full naming me.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, Hack is definitely your middle name.
And now, her postal address is number 4.
Hack Street.
Way. Yeah.
Hack Street, Hackney.
Okay. Hackney. Okay. Emma, let me know your thoughts on this film, please. Moment of truth.
Like, I mean, I echo everything that everybody has said so far. This film is absolutely stunning. You're right, it's timeless. And I know that, obviously, Will is a genius. But every part of this film feels really human and really relatable. And I think that's what makes it so beautiful. The performances are spectacular. You know, and Gaz, you mentioned about Robin Williams. I think for me, that was watching him in this film was so poignant and quite hard, I thought. I found it quite difficult watching him play that character, but in a really beautiful way. And I think, you know, I constantly complain about the length of a film. I watched this straight through, no breaks, same, didn't get bored at any point. I cried, yeah, I laughed, I smiled, I was on the edge of my seat, and I, you know, the performances are amazing here. And you forget how talented Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are, but, you know, when they first sort of like came onto the scene, and just really, really talented actors. And you believe all of the relationships and all of the things that happen in this film. I'm so disappointed in myself that I haven't had the opportunity to experience this until now, because actually, like you said, Len, it's a perfect Sunday afternoon film. And that you're right about the end. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how it was going to be left. And actually, it's very rare these days that you have a film that ends on a note like that.
Nicely.
Yeah, on a really nice, happy note. You know, there was some sadness there in some ways, but it was so beautifully done. It is absolutely a 5 blueberry
film. You mean because Morgan gets to sit in the front seat, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've been waiting for that for 2 hours, and then finally he gets to sit in the front seat. Like, you know, the world is
right. That's the real story.
Yeah, 100% Five Blueberries. Amazing, amazing film.
Lovely stuff. There you go, listeners. That's a full house. We call it a full bloob over here.
Do we?
We don't call it a floob. I don't know what we call it. What do we call it?
A floob.
We call it
bloob
a
bingo.
Full cheesecake, because...
Would it be a bushel of blueberries, Gareth? What would it be? A gaggle of blueberries?
No. Okay, let's go bushel.
I think...
I like bushel.
It's not bunch, is it? It can't be a bunch. It may well be a bushel.
It's 20
bushel, of them. Bushel sounds good. Let's go with that.
Okay. Yeah. That's right, listeners. It's a bushel of blueberries. And
bursting bushel of blueberries.
Before we get into the main scenes and the sort of favourite performances, I just want to plug our main channel, Fan Critical. If you are listening on any of our other sort of child podcasts that we've fathered into the world, and mothered, of course, they have grown and flourished and covered their own shows. But of course, everything we talk about goes on to the Fan Critical channel. So you might be missing out on some glorious, glorious content. And over 200 podcasts covering some of your favourite films and TV shows, I'm sure. So please do search Fan Critical on any podcast app and just give it a little subscribe and you won't miss anything. Anyway, let's crack on. Little plug. Pluggy done. Favourite scenes. Now, actually, before I go on to favourite scenes, I want to talk about Rotten Tomatoes. As a tradition, we always give the synopsis from Rotten Tomatoes and the score. And then I'll throw it open to the group to see if they can guess the score. No cheating, team. This is the synopsis. It follows a predictable narrative arc, but Good Will Hunting adds enough quirks to the journey and is loaded with enough powerful performances that it remains an entertaining, emotionally rich drama. What do you think it gets as a score?
98%.
96%.
Lucy Googled it, so...
no, I didn't.
I'm going to agree with Lucy.
My God. We got a couple of great scientists in here. Unbelievable. Yeah, 98% is correct. So pretty impeccable score. Actually, an audience score of 94%, which actually is important signifier to... Yeah, usually the audience score is down from like a critic score. So that's actually quite good. I actually thought the synopsis was very underwhelming because the film did win 2 Oscars, was nominated for about 10 other Oscar nominations. Anyway... That's the synopsis. Favourite scenes. I'm going to kick this one off with Emma, as it's your show, in a way. What is your favourite scene of the film? There's a lot to choose from.
I'm torn, but I actually think, for me, it's that conversation between Ben Affleck and Matt Damon when they're at the construction site.
Good scene. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
You got something none of us have. Oh, come on. Why is it always this? I mean, I fucking owe it to myself to do this or that. What if I don't want to?
No. Well, fuck you. You don't owe it to yourself. You owe it to me. Because tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'll be 50. And I'll still be doing this shit. And that's all right. That's fine. I mean, you're sitting on a winning lottery ticket. You're too much of a pussy to cash it in. And that's bullshit. Because I'd do fucking anything to have what you got. So would any of these fucking guys. It'd be an insult to us if you're still here in 20 years. Hanging around here is a fucking waste of your time.
Yeah, so Will's been like fucking up, in, you know, not bothering with these job offers. And it's when it's when Chucky turns around and says, you know, you're letting us down, basically. You know, you have this opportunity. I want to turn up at your house and in those 10 seconds, you know, walking to your front door, find you not there. And it's such...
Not quite what he says, but yeah, good.
You know, yeah, I mean, you get what I mean.
It's not a direct
quote.
Surely
we've already seen this. Not a direct quote. I don't have the script in front of me. And obviously that then comes to fruition. And it's that beautiful relationship that they have where all he wants is for Will to make the best of the opportunity he has and not squander it. And, you know, it's that kind of unconditional love of a friend, isn't it, that... No matter how sad it is to not have someone in your life, you want the best for them. That for me is just, it's so well done. It's so simple. And it's just the two of them acting. I mean, they act amazingly together. they're incredible. And I think for me, that's, you know, because that the ending hinges on that, and you know, it's just, it's great.
It reminds me of a conversation Len had with me when we were living in London together before I left. He said, "Listen, you're too good for this. You're too good for this. I want to wake up.
Too good
up
for
one
this.
Day
can't sound like Len.
Not have you there.
Sound like Len.
But I stayed. So what? So now I'm the Ben Affleck character. I'm just sitting there chugging away at life."
It reminded me of a scene in Stand By Me as well, when Chris says to Gordy, like, well, Gordy's like, "I'm going to do shop with you." And he's like, "Why are you going to do shop with us? Like, you can make up stories. Like, you can do anything. Like, don't be dragged down with us." And he's like, no, I'm going to stay with my friends. And I think there's quite a, you're both guys, Gaz and Len, a thing of, like, no, I'm going to stay with the guys. Like, you don't want to let your friends down. And if you stick your head above the parapet, like, you might fail. But to have friends there that actually encourage you and don't want you just to be in the shit with them, it's,
it's a rare
very
thing.
Powerful.
That's a great comparison,
you know, one thing that I actually think about that scene, one thing that I was thinking as I was watching it this time, is that Chucky actually has got loads of potential himself. Like, okay, he might not be book smart, but he's got leadership qualities. He's got leadership.
He's got the gift of the gab.
He's got gift of the gab. He could do
top class salesman.
He could
top
do
class salesman. Yeah, head of sales.
He has a job. Assistant to the regional manager.
Assistant to the regional manager.
He's got a job at least.
No,
you know?
He's getting there. And nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying, I don't want Chuck to undersell himself. You know, undervalue his place.
Right.
That's the next film.
Go to Boston and let him know, Gareth. Go to Boston and let him know. That was terrible. Wow.
Nah,
I've lost it.
He legitimately will be 50 still working on that building site now.
Mm. Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. Well, he's having a great time. So, okay. Lucy, has Emma stole the scene that you wanted to choose?
She has, but
choose
it's okay.
Another.
Because there are many. So, I'm going to choose the scene between Sean and Will on the bench in the park.
Oh, that's my one.
We're all just stealing each other's. Just go in a circle.
You're just a kid. You don't have the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Why, thank you.
It's all right. You've never been out of Boston.
Nope.
So if I asked you about art, you'd probably give me the skinny on every art book ever written. Michelangelo. Know a lot about him. Life's work, political aspirations, him and the Pope, sexual orientation, the whole works, right? I bet you can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. You've never actually stood there and looked up at that beautiful ceiling. I ask you about love, probably quote me a sonnet. But you've never looked at a woman and been totally vulnerable. Known someone that could level you with her eyes. Feeling like God put an angel on earth just for you. Who could rescue you from the depths of hell. And you wouldn't know what it's like to be her angel. To have that love for her be there forever. Through anything.
And it's just so true, like of youth. Like, and he's such a smart aleck and he's got an answer for everything. So you don't have an experience of life. You know, you talk about love, but you've never woken up next to the woman that you love. And everything he says is so true. And it also made me think that when they wrote that scene, they were like in their very early 20s. So to have that depth of knowledge and understanding is incredible. And it's just, Robin Williams in this film, it's very, very heartrending. But it's a great moment because there's no screaming or shouting, but he's not even insulting him. He's explaining to him, like, you don't actually have all the answers. You don't know everything.
I was going to say, that's a conversation that every kid in their 20s or every young person in their early 20s should hear from someone as well. Like, it really resonates, doesn't it? That, you know, you think you know it all, but you don't. And I think that's why it hits home, because I think we've all had someone say that to us in that way, you know, or at least I remember that kind of conversation at that age. And that's one of the things about this film, is that it's so relatable because it's so human.
And that scene's important because it's something about that scene. It fixates on Robin Williams's face for like a lot of that conversation. Yeah. Like, it doesn't even cut back to Matt Damon. And there's that kind of moment where they must have got it in the editing room and they just sat there going, fuck me, Robin Williams' little monologue here, he's absolutely nailing this. Just stick on him.
Yeah.
Because you kind of feel like the camera is, like, you are Matt Damon in that scene. You're just like, he's telling you, wait a minute, you know, experience, you know, is knowledge. You know, it's not just reading books. You actually have to live through these experiences. And I love that scene. Like that's when the script really stands out. Like, I hate to say it because, like, usually filmmaking is brilliant when you don't notice anything. But sometimes when things are elevated to such a high level, you have to just stand back and go, fuck me, whoever wrote that, that is really good.
Yeah.
Like, that is a really good section of dialogue. Yeah,
especially
I love that
that
scene.
They were so young. I just can't get my head around
it's
it.
It's amazing,
now,
isn't it?
Yeah,
have
I'm
that,
sure,
that sort
I'm,
of insight.
I'm sure Gus Van Sant also sort of overlooked the script. I mean, I know they did so well with the screenplay, and I'm sure it is all Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, but I'm sure there was a lot of rewrites with Gus Van Sant potentially and a couple of things here and
don't
there.
Don't take it away from the lads.
Sorry. Yes,
poor boys. Yes.
Gareth, what's your favourite scene, bro?
I'm going to go for a little bit of a lighter scene. I love the scene in the bar at the start. So from the point of Chuck trying his best lines. What's the guy's name? The blonde guy, Clark. When Clark comes along and tries to embarrass
just the
him.
The hair, you just know he's a wanker.
So
what has he done that?
So
good.
Are we going to have a problem?
No, there's no problem here. I was just hoping you might give me some insight into the evolution of the market economy in the southern colonies. My contention is that prior to the Revolutionary War, the economic modalities, especially in the southern colonies, could most aptly be characterized as agrarian pre-capital.
All right, of course that's your contention. You're a first-year grad student. You just got finished reading some Marxian historian, Pete Garrison probably. You're going to be convinced of that till next month when you get to James Lemon. Then you're going to be talking about how the economies of Virginia and Pennsylvania were entrepreneurial and capitalist way back in 1740. That's going to last until next year. You're going to be in here regurgitating Gordon Wood, talking about, you know, the pre-revolutionary utopia and the capital-forming effects of military mobilization. See, the sad thing about a guy like you is in 50 years, you're going to start doing some thinking on your own, and you're going to come up with the fact that there are two certainties in life. One, don't do that. And two, you dropped $150,000 on a fucking education you could have got for $1.50 in late charges at the public library.
Yeah, but I will have a degree, and you'll be serving my kids fries at a drive-thru on our way to a skiing trip.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but at least I won't be unoriginal.
You know, like, so Skylar's being polite, I think, probably not overly interested, but she's being polite.
Yeah.
Clark comes over, Mr. Massive Dickhead, and...
to give him his full name.
Yeah, I think it is Clark Massive Dickhead.
the second.
And then, so Clark Massive Dickhead, then Good Will Hunting comes in and says, and makes him look like an absolute fool. And I love that interaction between Clark and Will, it's brilliant. And
he's like, then you're gonna quote Gordon, and Gordon said this, and it's like,
I love when at the end he's like, when he says you're going to be serving my fries or whatever, and he's like, yeah, maybe, but at least I won't be unoriginal. I'm like,
at least
yeah,
I won't be unoriginal.
Yeah,
that's very good.
It's a great scene. It's a great scene because it's the first time that you really see what Will has inside that head of his. I think, like,
yeah, exactly.
It's amazing.
Shows
and it's
you
funny.
His superpower, essentially.
Yeah.
And it culminates in, do you like apples?
So good. Yeah.
How do you like these apples?
Got number. How do you like them apples? So good.
How do you like them blueberries?
Do you like apples?
Yeah.
Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples?
It's so... it doesn't... I still don't get it, but I love it.
You don't need to get it. It's just an all-time famous quote. So that's just,
that's,
you know.
Do you reckon when they wrote that line, did they go, right, this is going to be an absolute classic? Did they?
No.
Or did they just think, what is this?
No.
I think they just thought, this is some silly stuff that these young kids might do. That's what I thought. I don't know. It's a good line, though. I don't know what scene to go for now because you've sort of taken it away, but one of my favourite scenes is, and something I quote all the time, and I'm sure everyone always quotes all their time, especially in jest, but also seriously sometimes, it's not your fault.
It's not your fault. Look at me, son. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
I know.
No, no, you don't. It's not your fault.
I know.
It's not your fault.
All right.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Don't fuck with me. It's not your fault.
Don't fuck with me, all right? Don't fuck with me, Sean, not you.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, 100%. That was my other killer choice.
Yeah.
Killer. I was floods of tears.
Yeah.
It's such a powerful scene. And it's obviously been, you know, it's on Family Guy. It's hilarious in Family Guy as well. It's in loads of things. I say it, as I said, on a regular basis, you know. But it's just hilarious. And
it's not hilarious.
It's just so emotional.
It's quite upsetting.
Absolutely pissing myself. When they went and hugged each other, bloody tremendous.
I think, I think I'm like dying in here. No.
Yeah, choose the wrench and the belt. It's hilarious.
No, it is. It is actually so emotional. And Robin Williams, fuck me, we're going to talk about him in a minute, I'm sure. But man, like you guys have already talked about him a bit, but like.
He blows you away.
It's just this, because I remember watching this for the first time. I was like, I don't know what's going on here. And then he just completely like breaks him down. And now I watch it as an adult. And it's like, yeah, you know, sometimes you just need people to like, you know, tell you that piece of information. Because that, you know, that's important. Like people inherently put a lot of blame on themselves for things that are completely out of their control sometimes. And yeah, sometimes you do need to take a look at yourself and go, okay, that was a mistake or whatever. But usually it's, you know, something else at your control that defines some of the actions that you do. So,
but yeah, I love how Will's reaction initially is just that, like,
I know. Don't worry.
But he's not. But I think the point is like he's not taking that in, is he? It's just that's kind of like an automatic response to that.
That's his defense mechanism. Yeah.
Watching that as an adult as well. There's almost a kind of sense of relief because you know that Will needs that moment. To really kind of let go a bit or accept, you know, that it isn't his fault. And just Matt Damon, the pain in his face is just that acting in that scene from both of them is just, it's heartbreaking, but it's also, it's beautiful and almost cathartic because we've been waiting for this for the whole film. And both Matt Damon and Robin Williams have such amazing chemistry together. I was, before Will even started crying, I was crying, like, beautiful.
It's just very well earned as well, I think, because sometimes you can have in film when like the moment of truth and you're like, yeah, the build up wasn't there, but for this, like throughout the film, and we've seen it with Skylar, with Gerard Lambeau, and with Sean in different ways. They all want to help him, and it slowly get like, and obviously Chucky, and then you slowly get, you know, he's a bit more self-awareness, a bit more, and he's brought to the edge with Skylar. And then when he's at his lowest, he's able to kind of really accept the help and accept, you know, the possibilities that are out there for him. And it's just...
Yeah. Yeah. That is completely right. And it's also like Robin Williams talking to himself a bit as well. And it's like they both helped each other. You know, it's not one of those things where he's helped Will. Will has helped him sort of move past the grieving of his wife and try and, you know, go and do things in the world again and not be weighed down by that pain that he has anymore. So they've helped each other. And I think it's a very emotional embrace that they have where they sort of, it's like a father son sort of dynamic, obviously. And it's something that Will has never had. someone that actually cares about his well-being, not just, oh, he's good at math, so he needs to be the next genius. It's no, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. It's just that he's born with this talent. Yeah, he can use it. It's his choice how he uses it. And yeah, it's great. It's great. Great scene. Bloody great film, to be honest with you. Bloody great film. Yeah. Best performances. We're just talking about it now. Robin Williams is... I wrote this down on my notes and I'll put it to the group now. Because obviously, Matt Damon's fantastic in this film. Let's just quickly say, Matt Damon... I think this is Matt Damon's best film. I don't know. I've seen him in a lot of films. And I think for me, there's something raw and very just normal. And even though he's got this crazy superpower, like Gaz says, and photographic memory and insane knowledge, there's something, I don't know, just so relatable about his performance here. So Matt Damon, very good. Yes, best ever from him.
Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so.
Probably.
It's multi-dimensional, but, like, he's quite obnoxious, actually.
I was just thinking The Martian. He's like, his it's not a better film than Good Will Hunting, just talking purely in terms of acting performance.
Departed as well, I think.
Departed, very good.
The Departed.
I had it. Another bastard.
Yeah.
I do think that one of the things that makes Matt Damon's performance in this film so amazing is his chemistry with the other people. So his chemistry, both with Ben Affleck and with Robin Williams, I think elevates his performance so much, because not only is he fantastic at playing the role of Will, the interactions that he has with those other core characters just elevate it way, way above a good performance to something just stunning.
Also think, like, just going to give her a little shout out, because we've covered most of the others, but I think Minnie Driver's actually really good as well. I think she starts out and it's like, oh, I'm British, and oh, am I a bit quirky? And like, oh, am I going to hate you? Every time I watch it, I'm like, am I going to hate you? Even though I know. And then by gets into it, and it's a really good performance. And there's so many films where it's like the troubled guy and the woman he loves, and they never have any real, like, personality or background. But thank you. But I feel like she... like, the character of Skylar is not just one-dimensional, the saviour. I think she does it really well, and she really grows into the performance. And that's apparently where they fell in love, because they did date after that. So,
I think she's a
little bit of plaudits.
She's quite an underrated actress. I think she's really good.
Mm. She is good. She's very good in this.
I did think at the start it was a bit iffy, but I think it was just the British accent standing against the Boston accent at the start of the film just really throws you off. I was like, Jesus, what's going on here? This stands out.
Yeah.
But Robin Williams, is this Robin Williams' best film? Now, he has got some fucking crackers.
Well, apart from Flubber, I would say yes.
Actually, I think Flubber is better.
Big time.
Mrs. Doubtfire, he's playing a character who is then playing another character. We know how difficult is.
That's true. That's why Eddie Murphy is the greatest actor of all time for Norbit.
And we've always said that. Just closely followed by Adam Sandler.
Yes, of course.
This is his best film, I think. His best performance, I think, it's safe to say. And there are many good ones. But I do think this is, you know, serious Robin Williams. You know what was so sad? Like, early on when he first meets Will, and Will's being a complete prick, and he talks about the painting and, like, you're all alone and you're so sad and blah, blah, blah. And it just made me think I don't want to, like, speculate, obviously, because it's a bit offensive, but he took his own life, and it just made me think, like, he probably was feeling some of those feelings when he did take his life. And it's just, it added an extra level of, like, it's like when you watch, like, Brokeback Mountain or something, and you see Heath Ledger and, you know, they're dead, and it's just adds an extra level of
it's poignancy, almost poignancy. I totally get what you mean. I thought the exact same thing, Luce, when I watched it yesterday. But yeah, it's just an amazing performance. He was just an incredible talent, an incredible man.
Yeah, there's something. I was thinking through his other films, like, you know, I was like, Patch Adams is pretty good film. Like, even the films in which he's funny, he always has
Jumanji.
I love Jumanji so much, but he has, like, emotional lines in those films where he just shows that he's a class above. Do you know what I mean? Even though he's funny, he's like a hilarious comedian. He is, and like you said, Luce, just because of obviously what happened later in his life and how he took his life, like, he was able to go to some places as an actor that, you know, his range was unbelievable. And I'm gutted that, you know, we can't see him in more films, because just watching this, I was like, oh my God, the things that we could be seeing him in now, like in the sort of twilight of his career, could have been amazing. But, you know, we were also blessed with so many films that he's in, but where literally so many of my favourite films. So
That's the thing, I think. He represented most of our childhood, like people are
100%. Yeah.
Huge
so
part
to
of
see
it.
Him in a film 100%. Like this, it's like, oh wow. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, Robin Williams, absolute legend, RIP. And on that note, let's try and cheer everybody up with a quiz.
I'm terrified.
Yes,
quiz.
So for anyone who doesn't know, this is the time during the How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That episodes where to validate that someone has actually watched the episode and not just regurgitated something that they've read on, say, Wikipedia or IMDb, some review that they've Googled. This is where we find out, you know, and I know what you're thinking. Yes, they could be on Google searching for these answers right now, but I put a couple in there that, you know, I don't think are Googleable in the time. You know, there is a time limit, so.
Are they scenario questions? Imagine Will Hunting has found himself in aisle 6 of the supermarket. He only has 5 minutes to collect 3 items. What does he collect?
What would they be? Yeah. No, so you have to get 3 correct, Emma. There will be 6 questions. And if Emma gets it wrong, I'll throw it open to the floor so you can, other guys can give yourself a little pat on the back. It's not too difficult. I struggled with this quiz.
I always get really scared about the quiz. And I've not yet.
Yeah, everyone always gets
scared. I've not yet failed. But
everyone always gets scared.
It is Sunday, so if I have to watch it again, I'll do it this afternoon.
No one has ever failed. So we've had about 10 of these, and no one has failed. So don't worry. You definitely won't fail. Okay, I'm going to play a little jingle now. Okay, Emma, question 1. AE2 over Y25 is divisible by what integer?
1.
No, that isn't a real question, but in all seriousness, if anyone does know the answer to that, I just made up some words and threw it out there. So if you've got any mathematicians listening...
I think I had like a slight panic attack then.
Yeah, I was like, oh, she's going to
panic.
Please
no maths.
No. Question 1. I'll start with a nice easy one. What is the full name of Will's new mathematics professor? What is the full name of Will's new mathematics professor?
Gerard Lambeau?
Yes, I will accept that, Emma. I will accept Gerard Lambeau. Yes,
thank God.
Correct.
Everyone's silence then was like, have I got this completely wrong? Like,
well, I was just trying to remember, he's got like a middle name, doesn't he, that he says at one point, I think.
Well, I don't know. I can't remember that, Cass. I didn't write that down. But yes, okay. If he did, that's why I said, I'll accept that, because he's probably got a middle name. Question number 2. Sean gave up his ticket to what event to see a girl he fell in love with? Sean gave up his ticket to what event?
Baseball.
To see a girl he fell in love with.
That's not an event.
Right, okay.
You can't just
We're
say
not
that.
Accepting not baseball. Event. Right. I knew this one would get a Gareth because I knew, you know...
I don't know what it is.
I've got the answer.
Go on then, Lucy.
I've got the answer.
Well, Lucy can go
the
first.
World Series.
Go on.
Well, hold on. More specifically.
Yeah. More specific than that, please.
Game six.
Yeah.
Game 6.
In what year's World Series?
75?
Yeah.
Correct, Lucy. Yes. Lucy gets
How do you
a
like
point
them apples?
I don't like those apples. Thank you. You can keep them. Fucking ridiculous. At least I got the right score.
Okay, so it's all right, Emmy. Still in it to win it. Sean tells Will he may have all that knowledge, but he has no experience. He says he bets he couldn't tell him what the smell was like where. So they're on the bench. I'll set the scene for you. He's giving that speech that we've talked about life experience. He says, but I bet you can't tell me what it smells like. Fill in the blank.
What it smells like? I don't know.
I know.
I'll let Gaz go.
Okay, Emma, that's incorrect. Don't panic. You are losing at the moment, though. Go on, Gareth.
So panic a bit.
The Sistine Chapel.
Correct, yes. I bet you can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel.
And the answer
is never stared up at that beautiful artwork.
Yeah, quite musty.
Oh, I didn't remember the smell bit. I did remember staring up at the artwork. God damn it, now I really need to pull my
after you've
finger
smelled
out.
It.
Yes, you
How
do.
How do you smell the Sistine Chapel? Weird.
Before you go to it and you smell.
Just smell is one of the most powerful things. Like
olfactory
memory-inducing.
exactly.
Senses. Yeah. Yes. Okay. What song does Will sing under hypnotism to one of the shrinks? What song does Will sing under hypnotism to one of the shrinks?
Afternoon Delight.
You have to sing it.
That is.
No, yeah, I'm not singing it. I'm not singing it.
No points then.
Skyrocketing.
No, not you. Light. Don't you sing.
Ooh, oh, sorry.
Afternoon Delight. Whoop. There we go.
Lovely.
Okay, I'm back in the game. Back in the game.
You are back in the game, but I have to tell you, you're in a dangerous situation now.
Cause you saved the hard questions till last.
I think the World Series is the hardest one. I knew everyone would get that. But anyway, question five. Will claims to have how many brothers? Will claims to have how many brothers?
12.
Sorry, 12? Did you say 12?
Yes.
That is correct.
Oh, yes, thank God.
You passed the quiz. Congratulations. Congratulations. I was really hoping you would say 13. Yeah.
No, because he's the 13th brother in his 13. Little fantasy of brothers.
Yeah. Ricky, Bobby, Benny, yeah. Barty, Barry, very nice. Barry,
look. Yeah, now the next question is recite all of them.
Yeah, bonus point.
Oh, that's a good bonus point. No, the final question, just to, you know, as they do in all quiz shows, just to tie up any loose ends, is Will has three friends he hangs out with all the time. Name them, please.
Chucky, Billy, Morgan.
Correct. See, that's how that, so, you know, gave you a little helping hand. So you got 4 out of 6 in the
end. I'm quite happy with that.
There, wasn't there?
Good. I genuinely, after the Sistine Chapel question, I thought I'm gonna fail this. I'm gonna be the first one in the history of Fan Critical to fail the quiz on
Hudson. Failure.
That was good. Some tension there. Some tension.
Yeah. Added tension. That's correct. Yes, that's well done, Emma. And that's Goodwill Hunting, everybody. Now, all that's left to do is to announce what film we're covering next.
Well, you know what I haven't seen, which you mentioned? I haven't actually seen Taken, if you're talking about doing Cast It. But don't make me watch Taken.
Yeah. Do you want to know something mental, Lucy?
What?
Yeah. I haven't seen Taken.
What?
What? What the fuck?
We're like, yeah, definitely right. Do Taken to Cast It. Brilliant. Liam Neeson.
Because I was going to say to you... this is going to be a first.
Do you want to do a shared one?
I think we need to do a how the fuck have you both not seen that?
Yes, audience, that is this is once again live reactions.
Lucy admitting
that she hasn't seen Taken, and then out of nowhere, big bombshell, Len hasn't seen Taken.
I mean,
I don't know, I've just never got around to it.
It's not like it's two-fifths. An absolutely amazing film, but how have you not seen Taken? Like, it's a good film.
But it's going to be funny, isn't it?
2/5 of Fan Critical haven't seen Taken. That's mental.
Maybe John hasn't seen it either. These are first.
Absolute hacks.
Who thought this could happen? How the fuck have you not seen that? People thought, no, this series is dead and buried, but it's alive and strong. If anything, now we're doubling up. We're fucking doubling up, people.
It's gaining
momentum. Jesus.
It is gaining momentum, much like Liam Neeson, although you wouldn't know. You
haven't. Because you haven't seen Taken.
Yeah. Very good. Well, that's it, listeners. The next film we're doing is Taken. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to this edition of How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That? It has been an absolute pleasure to watch and discuss this all-time classic Goodwill Hunting with my fellow lovely podcasters. Lucy.
Thank you.
Emma.
The Hack says bye.
And Gareth.
See you, mate.
Yes, we will return in a few weeks' time with Taken. In the meantime, everyone, stay safe. If you're in the snow, wrap up warm. If you're in the heat like me and Gareth, take your clothes off. Anyway, see you later, guys. And remember, it's not your fault.
Aww. Bye.
Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.